All right, take your Bibles this evening. Go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of the life of them that by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shamphat of Abel-Meloeth shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shamphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I to do through thee? And returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I want to take this whole chapter, and I really kind of struggled with a couple different titles. You could say A Man Just Like Us, or The Dangers of Discouragement. You can pick, I don't care. But A Man Just Like Us, or The Dangers of Discouragement. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we have now to come and be at your house. Lord, I'm so inadequate to preach tonight. I can't do it without your power. Just fill me with your with the Holy Spirit, hiding me behind the cross. Just, Lord, people came to hear from you tonight. Just help them to hear from you. Just help us to take these thoughts and apply them to our heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, in verse 1, you've got Ahab coming to Jezebel and tattling to her about Elijah, basically what he's doing. Yeah. He comes to Jezebel. Now, to give you a little bit of background on Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab is the king of Israel, and Jezebel is his wife. She is not a godly woman. She, in fact, is the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. Her name originally meant the prince Baal exists. She is a killer of the prophets of God. She cannot stand God. She brought all her, when she married Ahab, she brought all of the false gods and Baal to the kingdom of Israel. And Ahab, being a weakling, not a very strong man morally, he allowed her to do this. And so it's not really God that is governing Israel. It's more Jezebel, the prophets of Baal, the false gods at this time. Well, in chapter 18, we find that the great battle of who is God on Mount Carmel. You find the slaying of 450 prophets of Baal. And we don't have time to go into that story, but Ahab is telling Jezebel what just happened in chapter 18. And he's saying that 450 prophets have been slain by the sword because of Elijah. Well, she immediately doesn't like this, okay? And because in chapter 17, we find that Elijah said in verse 1 that there's not going to be any rain. And in James, we find that there wasn't any rain for 3 years and 6 months, all right? So it was a long period of time that this country did not have rain. They were in a drought. Okay, and Jezebel really didn't like this because Baal was the weather god. Okay, so it really messed her up. Okay, if her god Baal was supposed to be in charge of the weather, and thereby, since it hasn't rained, her god's not working. Okay, and so she's finding all this out, and she sends a messenger to Elijah. And basically, in a nutshell, she says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to die. Okay, there is not going to be a chance. You're dead. Well, before we get too hard on Elijah, we need to think about this for a moment. You've got the queen of Israel, Jezebel, one that hates God, has marked you as a dead man. Okay? So it's no small person that is after you. But really, when you go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, we find another story. We find in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, we'll read some of this and then jump back to chapter 19. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he, being Elijah, rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she, the widow lady, said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said. So in chapter 17, you've got a picture, you got a story of Elijah being the man of God that he should be, going to this place, going to the widow lady's home and saying, Hey, I'm hungry, you need to feed me. And the widow lady said, I don't have what you need. In fact, the Bible even gets very specific and says she was gathering 2 sticks, little fire, little meal, okay? You don't build a bonfire for just a little meal, okay? It doesn't take much fire. So she's saying, I don't have much. And he says, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. So here he's telling the widow lady she doesn't need to fear. She needs to trust God. But in chapter 19, something changes in the heart of Elijah. He becomes very discouraged. Very discouraged at the threat of death by Jezebel. So in chapter 19, he finds this out, and in verse 3, we find, number one, discouragement does not allow you to think rationally or properly. Discouragement
does not allow you to think rationally or properly. Verse 3, it says, "And when he saw that, the messenger, what the messenger had to say, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Okay? He went on a journey, a long journey, and requested that he would die. Now, if you stop and think about it, it really doesn't make sense. He's not displaying very much common sense, because he's got a threat that Jezebel's going to kill him. Then he goes this long journey and asks God to kill him. So the same result is death. Okay? You cannot think rationally when you're discouraged. Never make a major decision in your life when you're discouraged, because you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking properly. Elijah, he wasn't thinking properly. He was actually kind of selfish. It was on Elijah's terms that he wanted to die. He didn't want to die by the hand of Jezebel, but he was okay to die by God taking his life. Okay? The same result was his death. But he couldn't think properly. He got scared. He panicked. He fled. Number two, discouragement isolates you. Look at verse 3 again. At the end of it, "And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." You realize he ran all the way through the kingdom of Judah to the southernmost town in the land of Beersheba. Still fearful that Jezebel's spies might discover him, he leaves his servant there, travels another 15 miles in the desert to find a juniper tree to sit under and request his death. Discouragement isolates you. You want to be left alone. You know, one of the most common things when we are discouraged, one of the most common things is to leave, is to run away. You just look at the divorce rate in Christians. The most common thing is to get out of the situation, is to get out of the marriage. God instituted marriage, not divorce. It was supposed to be till death do you part. And sin comes along, and we mess it up. We get discouraged. We want run away. The same thing with church hopping. I don't understand this thing of church hopping. If God wanted you to hop, he would have created you as a bullfrog. Okay? But you're not. He created you to stay at a church and serve. You can't faithfully serve going in a ministry from church to church. That's not the design from God. The design is to get in the local church, to find your place, and to work and serve where God would have you. Okay? The most natural thing when we get discouraged is to leave, to become isolated, to push people away. Discouragement, number three, discouragement endangers you. You look in verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." Now watch this. "For I am not better than my fathers." Elijah's thinking that he doesn't matter. Elijah's saying he's not that special. But when you really look at it, Elijah didn't or couldn't see the results that he wanted to see with Baal being abolished. You know, the results of our service is not up to us, it's up to God. And how dare we push to see those results when we don't have any control over it? The results belong to God. The thing that we need to do is stay patient, stay humble, serve God, obey Him, follow Him, and leave the results up to Him. But as humans, we jump the gun. We're not seeing the results fast enough, so we get discouraged. We're not seeing our class grow, so we get discouraged. Now, I'm not giving that as a cop-out, okay? But the results do belong to God. What we can do, and what Elijah should have done, is stay in his place. You realize that Elijah never asked God if he could go, if he could leave the city? He got the message and skipped town. He left. He didn't go and seek God's face and say, "Look, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to leave for a while, or should I stay? Are you going to protect me?" And you know what? If he'd have done that, God would have showed him. But he didn't even go to God and ask. He just left. And that's so like us humans. We find a problem. A problem comes. You realize that you can never, if you haven't been discouraged, you will be discouraged. If you've been discouraged, maybe you're not now, maybe you will be in the future. Discouragement comes as long as we are breathing, as long as there is sin, as long as there is trouble in life, discouragement comes. It's a fact. It's part of life. So knowing this, we can arm ourselves with some things. We can look at the life of like Elijah and see where he felt, how he felt, see how he fell, okay? See the things that he should have done and the things that we need to do. He should have gone to God immediately, but he didn't do that. Instead, he runs. He runs like Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. Jonah, it didn't get him very far, okay? It got him all the way to the depths of the bottom of the sea for him to get some common sense, okay? Don't let your discouragement take you so far. Here, Elijah, it's so encouraging to see how God handles Elijah. It really is. And we're going to get into the rest of the chapter. How God is such a loving God. How God, He loves us. Aren't you glad that God still, He never gives up on discouraged people? Amen. He doesn't give up on Elijah. He takes the rest of the chapter and tries to help Elijah. And let's go through this. So verse 5, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Do you know that when you're discouraged, I mean, you're so discouraged, you don't feel like eating? The best time to lose weight, all right, when you're discouraged, you just don't feel like eating. But here, God comes to him and says, by the hand of an angel, and gives him food. But that's not all he does. He provides him rest. Another thing that you can't do when you're deeply discouraged, you can't sleep, okay? Because you're focused on your circumstance. You're focused on your discouragement. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And you're just isolated. You've pushed everything that's close to you away, even God. And that's a dangerous thing to do. You realize that God never left Elijah. Elijah left God. Elijah left town. It's not God that abandons us. It's us that pushes God away. And that's so silly. In our deepest trial, in Elijah's deepest moment of time, in this chapter in his life, when he needed God the most, he ran. How about us? When we need God the most, what do we do? Do we run from God? We're not even thinking properly, so we can't get our minds focused, so we don't know where to turn to. Do we just run from God, or do we run to God? He's there. He's waiting. He's a good God. He's a loving God. And look what God does for Elijah. So he provides him some sleep. He provides him something to eat. In verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. So he got some more rest. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You know, that's true. It was. Elijah couldn't do it by himself, but he thought he could. Elijah couldn't face this problem by himself, but he was trying his best. And his best was death. That's the best Elijah could think up of. All right, I've done my duty. It's time to die. I can't go any farther. And God's coming to Elijah and says, your journey is too great for thee. You're not ready to die. In verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Horeb, the Mount of God. So he goes another journey, another 40 days to where God tells him to go. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? So he asks him this question. What are you doing here? Now, is it because God didn't know the answer? No. Okay. It's because Elijah wasn't where he should have been. And he's trying to get Elijah to think. And Elijah here, he goes in verse 10 and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel hath forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets. He forgot about the prophets, the 450 prophets of Baal. He left that out, okay? Discouragement only looks at the dark side of things. He forgot about God's victory of the 450 prophets. But anyway, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he's giving God the boo-hoo list. He's telling him that there's nothing that he can do. There's no more areas that he can serve in. Verse 11, and he said, this is God, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Here in these couple verses, God comes to Elijah, shows him three very, very powerful examples of his power. And you look at it, the wind was so great and so strong that it rent the mountains and break the rocks in pieces. That's a big, strong, powerful wind. That would scare you to death. But God wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Now, we're not talking about a little fire that you can, that, like the widow woman, she only had two sticks. We're talking about a fire that produces and shows God's power. But God wasn't in the fire. And after that, a still small voice. You see, Elijah, he was so discouraged that these three things didn't move him, couldn't have moved him. Even though they were so powerful, God used a still small voice to talk to Elijah. And we find out, after that, verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The same question. The first time, Elijah didn't get it. So let's see if he gets it the second time. Verse 14. You know verse 14 and verse 10 is the exact same answer? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thine covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah gives God the exact same answer. God asks him the question twice. He gives him the same answer. He didn't get it. Elijah saw three very powerful examples of God's power, heard from God the question, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives him the same answer. He's in fear, he's discouragement, and it caused him only to see the dark side of life. He is in so much discouragement that he can't look up. He can't see out. He doesn't see the way. And so God, he keeps going. Look at how good God is. In verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So that's the first thing he was supposed to do. The second thing, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, that's the third thing, the son of Shamphat of this guy, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So three things Elijah was told to do. And it came to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. So there's a reason why God has three people here. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. So God's going to take care of the problem. Okay? Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not been kissed. God is telling Elijah there's other people. God says, look, I want you to anoint three guys, and they're going to take care of these problems. Okay, they're going to take care of why you're so discouraged. And then he adds, and I've got 7,000 guys that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Now this encourages Elijah a little bit. Verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha. He skipped the first two guys. Okay, but later, through the course of Elisha, those two guys get anointed. Okay, but he goes, he's still discouraged. He goes, he finds Elisha, the son of Shamphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee again. And he said unto him, go forth again, for what have I to do to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah. And if the Bible stopped right there, we'd be encouraged. But it doesn't. There's one more phrase, and ministered unto him. You see how good God is to Elijah when he's so discouraged? And you think, God speaking to you shouldn't lift you up, but it didn't work with Elijah. You know, God gives us people to encourage us. Exactly the case of Elisha, and ministered unto him. Elisha ministered unto Elijah. He was a minister. He was a servant. He was to serve him. And that kind of boosted Elijah up. Do you realize that God today has given us the same type of format? He's given us his word. He's given us a church. He's given us a pastor to encourage you when we are discouraged. But what we don't see that. We don't see all the blessings of God when we're discouraged, because that would ruin our discouragement party, okay? What we see is our circumstances, and we try and isolate ourselves, push people out, push what God has given us away, and say, no, I think I can do better by myself. No, I think I can run and run away into a desert, get alone, and maybe find myself. What are you trying to find? God's given you what you need. God's given us a church. God's given us a pastor. Praise God and uplift what he's given you. Embrace it, and God will help you in your discouragement. Don't run away from your troubles because you can't get there. Elijah couldn't run away. God was right with him. You can't run away. I can't run away from our problems. We try and run away from our problems and our discouragement. We'll hop into two or three more. Okay? You've got to face your discouragement with God. You try and do it by yourself, and you'll fail. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the power to overcome our emotions, to overcome our discouragement. Use it. We don't use the tools that God has given us because we don't think we are adequate. We don't think we are capable. You're not. That's why we need God. I'm not capable. That's why I need God. And when we're discouraged, go to God. You realize when David was discouraged, he said in Psalms 130, verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. He couldn't go any lower. Psalm 107:13, then I cried unto the Lord in our trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Psalms 120, verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. David knew where to go. When he was in distress, when he was discouraged, when he was in trouble, he went to God. And you know the beautiful thing about it is God heard him. God met David and encouraged him. God restored his soul when he needed restoring. You know where Elijah went? He left town. He didn't even seek God. He didn't turn to God. If he turned to God, he would have found his encouragement. He would have found that God just provided a victory of 450 guys of Baal being killed, but he didn't go to God. He didn't remember those victories. He was stuck in his discouragement. He couldn't see anything out of it because it was affecting his own life. His life was on the line this time, and he panicked. He got scared. You ever get times when you get scared? Go to God. In your distress, in David's distress, he went to God. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, if Elisha could have realized that the victory, that he had the victory, he had the ability, he had the power of God on his side, it would have been a different outcome. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is not in us. The victory is not in what we can produce, how we can combat it. The victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You've got, if you're saved tonight, you put your faith in your final destination in heaven. Put your faith in God for your trials and your discouragement here on earth. Heaven, eternity is so big of a deal, okay? We're on earth for such a little time. And we have the faith in God to provide for our future home, but we lack in this faith of providing for our needs here on earth. It doesn't make sense. If we would just come and say, you know what, I don't have all the answers, and you don't have all the answers, but we have a God that does. And when we get discouraged, we come to God, we use the power that he's already paid for, that he's already given you, and we tap into that supply, and he'll give us the victory. Amen. You really think That even if it was, that even though Elijah was threatened by Jezebel, you really think that God couldn't have made him still live, even in that city? He didn't have to run away from her. He had God. But the thing was, he didn't use God. He didn't turn to God. The question is, will we? The reason why I came up with this title, A Man Just Like Us, is because in James 5:17, the Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had feelings. He had emotions. He was like we are. You know why we can say, or you know why I can say that we're like him? Because the Bible said it. We get discouraged. We have times of discouragement. Taking the lessons of Elijah, how will you be different? Knowing what you know now from the life of Elijah, one of God's servants, somebody that God used mightily, but yet had a time, a crisis in his life that he became so discouraged, we see how he dealt with it. How will you deal with it? We see how David dealt with it. When he was in distress, he ran to God, and God was right there. How will we deal with it? Discouragement is just a part of life. If you're not discouraged tonight, you might be tomorrow. Okay? If you're not discouraged tomorrow, you might be the next day. How will you deal with it? Where will you go to? The Bible says twice, God asks a question, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" How would you answer that? When God asks a question, you better stop and think. You better put yourself in his shoes and say, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I here? You know, if Elijah could go back and read what we just read tonight, he would probably think, boy, I was kind of foolish. That was pretty embarrassing. You know, this would be a chapter that Elijah would be like, please don't read that tonight, you know? Because it's embarrassing, because he messed up. But looking over the chapter and looking over the life that we leave behind, we can be different. We don't have to have a chapter like Elijah had in our life. But it's up to you. It's up to me. Will we go to God or will we run from God? It's up to us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed.